We return to the study of the book of Joshua, and this morning our focus is on chapter 14. Please turn your Bibles back to chapter 14 of Joshua. The subject I would like to consider with you this morning is persevering faith. The first five verses of this chapter gives us or inform us what the children of Israel did, and that is the inheriting of the land and the distribution of the land according to the commandments of God through Moses. And so the children of Israel obeyed and divided the land. Our attention is more on the second section, that is from verses 6 to 15. And in this verses 6 to 15, we once again see a very familiar name resurface. His name is Caleb. Now Caleb, nearing the end of his military career, at the age of 85, we observe that this man, his faith in his God, never abated. 45 years later, after he first set foot in the land of Canaan as one of the spies, his faith was as strong and prevailing as before, no doubt kept by the power of God. We must remember this, and this is often overlooked when we read or study the book of Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were the only two spies, or out of the 12 spies, that had faith in God to bring them into the land of Canaan while they were on that spying mission. And so consequently, they were the only ones, the two of them, preserved through the wilderness journey, and they were allowed to enter into the land of promise. The outstanding feature of Caleb's faith, and that of Joshua also, is this. These two men did not question God's purpose in not sparing them the 40 years of wilderness journey together with the rebellious Israelite. Did you notice that? God did not spare them of that 40 years of wilderness journey, which the rebellious deserve. But we would say that in our mind, they should be immediately rewarded, isn't it? For their faithfulness, for their courage, for their belief and conviction that God will indeed give them victory. But instead, they did not. They did not complain. They, in humility, though perhaps they may not fully understand the will of God at that time, but they, in humility and with persevering faith, though God did not spare them from that treacherous journey, yet with persevering faith, they humbly submit themselves to the unsearchable will of God. By faith, they believe that wilderness journey was for their good, and God will receive the glory. How often, isn't it, we as believers, many of us, when we encounter or face with so many difficulties in life, and very quickly and very often that question will come up: why? Why me? Is there any good for me to go through all this? We begin to question God. But look at the faith of these two men. And of course, in our study today, particularly on this man, Caleb. Forty-5 years later, Caleb still believed in the promise of God to him. And so in faith, he made that very famous petition, which many Christians like to quote, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Concerning such a prayer, there is another man that came to my mind as I prepared this, and his name is John Knox. John Knox is one of the well-known reformers. His faith in God and his experience of God's power, mercy, and the working of the Holy Spirit in his life is remarkable. Here is a man fearless before God and in the world, and he was called to preach the gospel. He was one of the greatest preachers of the Reformation, and he was also a prayer warrior. In fact, we read in church history that the Roman Catholic Mary, Queen of Scots, is known to have said this: "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." John Knox was not only a great preacher, but also a man of prayer. Until his dying days, the famous prayer of John Knox was this: "Give me Scotland or I die." He has such a burning desire in his heart that Scotland as a country may come to know the Lord Jesus. And in our study of the book of Romans, isn't it? In the first few verses of chapter 9, you see how Paul has this burning desire for his fellow countrymen, the Jews, to come to know Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord. Again, we ask ourselves, what about me? Do I have this desire to pray for the salvation of my family members, those around me who are still outside of the kingdom of God? And so such was the intensity of the prayer life of John Knox and people like Caleb and Joshua, that John Knox would rather die and go to heaven than not see his prayer answered. And whenever you think of characters like this, John Knox, Caleb, Joshua, Moses, and others in the Bible, our minds, I'm sure, must turn back, or our minds should, or rather this should stir our heart, and to reflect and to ask ourselves, what about my prayer life? Caleb, in many respects, made that petition to Joshua like that of John Knox. At age 85, standing in the promised land right now, beholding a vast mountain range, and he turned to Joshua and said, "Give me this mountain." Caleb has the faith that Jesus in the gospel described as a grain of mustard seed that can move mountain. Matthew 17:20. Caleb have a faith that literally claimed the mountain, move a mountain, and thus he said, "Lord, give me this mountain." Believers, those of us who are in Christ, do we have any prayer in our heart yet to be answered? Perhaps your prayer is for the salvation of your family members, and so that may be your mountain. And so if you do pray, and earnestly pray, that the God of heaven will give you that mountain, surely, just as what God did for Caleb, he will likewise do for you. But do we have such persevering faith? If not, what should we do? But praying to God, I must first say that it is a spiritual exercise for the believers only. The non-believers, those who are outside of Christ, who do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have no desire to pray. You have no need to pray. Why? Because in and of yourself, you feel that you are very sufficient. You are self-sufficient. Everything seems to be going well for you. And so you do not see a need to pray or to seek this God, the Lord Jesus. But this morning, as you sit here and hear the Word of God, as He knocks on your heart by His Spirit, the very first prayer, my friends, you can make is what we call the prayer of confession. Romans 10:9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised Him, Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Dear friends, if you are outside of the kingdom of God, this is the first prayer you must pray, to cry out to God to save your soul from sin, from eternal damnation. And surely God will answer that prayer. Coming back to Caleb, 45 years ago he saw that mountain, but it was not God's will at that time to give him or to answer that prayer. God may indeed give us a promise, a word to comfort us and to strengthen us, but it might take many years for that promise to be fulfilled in our experience. For Caleb, the time finally came, not in his younger years, but in his senior years. And this study this morning, on this point here, concerning Caleb at his age, is it not a reminder again to what we have studied previously concerning the fruitfulness even of those in their senior years, that God will indeed be able to use you fruitfully for His glory even in your senior years. As you grow weaker, but your inner man is still strong in the Lord, and therefore you can still continue to serve the Lord, perhaps not in a vigorous capacity, but there is always work for you, particularly in the means of grace in prayer, that you can pray for others. And that perhaps is your service for the Lord. And so Caleb, before he's finished his race at this age, normally at this age we will call it a day, it's retirement time. Nowadays it's 65 or 60. Some could be earlier. But here you see this man at this age. He desired to win one more battle for the honor of God's name. And so he came before Joshua to claim it. Please bear in mind that at the time of speaking or making this request to God through Joshua, Caleb had not taken that mountain. That's one thing that we must take note. However, he prayed in faith, believing that God will grant it to him as He promised him through Moses. And so the first lesson we can gather from what we have considered so far from Caleb's prayer or request is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, or the prayer of believing faith. But then we must ask how Caleb became a man of prayer and praying with such great faith that claims mountain. I'd like you to turn to Joshua 14 and look at verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, But I wholly followed the Lord my God. This statement means Caleb sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He followed the Lord and was a man who knew God and walked with God faithfully all the days of his life. No doubt, with the help and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. In and of himself, he will not be able to do so. But nevertheless, he is a practicing Christian. He do his part with the help of the Holy Spirit. As you consider the life of this man, now at the age of 85, what goes through your mind? For the younger ones, I'd like to say this to you. Please realize that what will become of you in the future or in your future will largely depend on what you are doing right now or your present life with your God-given life now. It starts now. It does not start at age 85 or later. What will become of you is how you live your God-given life now. Consider it very carefully, young people. And the next thing we must ask, the first, as I was saying just now, that Caleb asked even before the Lord gave him that mountain. The next thing is this. Caleb was asking what? Do you know what his prayer request was? He was not just asking for something small. He was asking for a mountain range. Another vital point to note is this. Who are in the mountain range that he wants to be his inheritance? The enemies are still there. The enemies are still there. And he was so confident that God will not only give him, and that God will enable him to wipe out, to remove or to destroy the enemies. The Anakims are there. But Caleb's faith was stronger than the greatest giants. And for us in our days, as we look at all this moral and spiritual degradation in our society, in our nation, evil and wickedness seems to prevail, and many Christians are driven to the point of giving up because we see ourselves on the losing side. And as though God is in slumber, we see more and more churches closing down, empty pews. And we want to give up, isn't it? What's the use? What's the point? Week in, week out, year in, year out, same thing. Nobody is interested in hearing the gospel. We try to reach out. We prayed about it. Perhaps we have not been praying earnestly enough. I don't know. But many of us give up, isn't it? Preachers giving up. Pastors giving up. Many of these societies that are set up in the defense of the gospel are left with older people. Young people are not interested. So what are we supposed to do? Give up? We do not have that persevering faith, isn't it, to continue. And we need to ask God to revive that in us. To increase our faith in Him. To give us what the faith that God gave to Caleb, to Joshua, to Moses. That we will continue to fight the good fight of faith. Let us encourage one another. Let us stir each other up. As what the writer of Hebrews says. Provoke one another unto good works, that we will not give up. And that is why, brethren, it is important for us to come together, particularly as a church, to pray. not only in your quiet devotion to pray for yourself, but to pray for others, that God will unite us, that God, the Holy Spirit will stir us up, that God will, by His Spirit, awaken us from our spiritual slumber, if we are in spiritual slumber. There are many Christians, as we see, they are just cruising along, because they have given up. We need that persevering faith, like what God gave to Caleb. And so let us pray and seek the Lord for such kind of faith. Naturally, in ourselves, we want an easy way out. Words like endurance, words like perseverance, virtues like patience, self-denial, and many more godly virtues are no longer in our vocabulary, are no longer in our prayers. We don't pray for such thing, isn't it? Many a times we are focusing on our material needs, daily sustenance and all that. Well, it is not. I'm not saying that these are not important. These are important indeed. And God is indeed concerned for our physical well-being. If God is not interested or not concerned with our spiritual well or physical well-being, then why did the Lord Jesus teach the disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? But let us turn our hearts and mind, not neglecting our spiritual needs. Those of you who are believers, gird up your loins. Ask that the Spirit will stir you up to strengthen you, to encourage you. For those who are serving the Lord in the various ministry as preachers, pastors, elders, deacons, or the societies that you or agency that you are representing, let us not give up. Though we are small in numbers, let us press on. Let us cry out to the Lord, have mercy, to give us persevering faith. And often why we do not pray for such thing, we do not seek to further cultivate and develop such godly virtues as perseverance, endurance, because we do not see the value of such fruits of the Spirit. As I said, most of our time, our attention is on the physical, the material needs. We pay very little attention to the fruits of the Spirit, such godly virtue that we need for the glory of God. And so we do not pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in cultivating this fruit of the Spirit and to further develop it. But look at this man, Caleb. Do you know that he is no special man? The book of James tells us that people like Elijah, the prophet who has this access to the throne room of God to call fire and brimstone down. What did James tell us about him? He is a man of, like us, flesh and blood. And same for Caleb, same for Joshua, same for Moses. They are not endowed with something special per se. They have their fair share of troubles and affliction. Like I said, they went through the 40 years of wilderness journey. They went through that. And he wholly followed after the Lord. Though his eyes physically is seeing all this suffering, all this pain, and perhaps, it's just a conjecture, perhaps in his weakness, he may have thought, "Why do I have to go through this? After all, am I not faithful to the Lord? Have I not fully followed after him? Why did God want me to go through this 40 years? Perhaps you may think of that. And it's natural for us to do that. But yet, he put that aside. He was willing not to question God, knowing that God is wiser, knowing that God knows what is best for him, and he persevered. He in quiet humility, submit to the will of God. So you see, he saw the evil, the wickedness, the sorrow during the 40 years of wilderness in the wilderness journey. In spite of all the battles that were thrown against him, he took everything that the Lord had for him. He submitted to God that it is his portion, as the Puritans like to put it. Just like Job, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Shall we receive good from the Lord and not evil? Is that how we look at our troubles, our trials, our affliction of life? Many of us know, including myself, when trouble comes, we sigh, we mourn, we complain. We don't have this spiritual foresight to look beyond all this trouble, that it is for our good. We may verbalize it and say, oh yeah, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them. We repeat this verse a million times over. But deep down in our hearts, why? Lord, how long more? Please deliver me now, now. That's how we are. And so this morning, I'd like to encourage all of us that there is help. We as Christians, believers, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God did not leave us alone in our struggle without help. We have help. And we need not continue to live this kind of life that is not glorifying to God and that is of no blessing to you. Many Christians are living their lives with their heads down as though it's doom and gloom. No, my dear friends, we have this God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask of him. Call unto him, and he will answer thee, and do great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Think not also of his simple prayer. His prayer of faith proves that our God is a prayer answering God, no matter how short it may be. As long as it is prayed in faith, as long as it is prayed within the will of God. Caleb prayed believing that as God has promised him 45 years ago, he will do it in his time. And this leads us to the second aspect of Caleb's request or Caleb's prayer. The second heading in my sermon here is the promise of faith, or the promise of convicting faith, if you like. How could Caleb pray with faith and with such boldness? It is because God has promised Caleb this mountain. In other words, he was praying according to the will of God, or the promises of God. Caleb was convinced and convicted by the promise of God, that God is no liar. Caleb believed that God had promised him all this land to Abraham, his forefather, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses and the children of Israel, and also to him. Do you know where that promise was made to Caleb? Please turn your Bibles to Numbers 14. Numbers 14, 24. Read it for yourself. That promise was made to Caleb in Numbers 14, 24. Numbers 14:24 is in the Old Testament. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Another question we must ask: how are you treating the word of God, dear friends? Do you take the promises of God lightly? Do you treat it like as another historical record that has no application on your present life or your future life? How do you and I treat the word of God? Do you know how Abraham treats the word of God spoken to him from God? Romans 4:3. Romans 4:3 tells us this, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then Paul also in Galatians 3:6 says this, that Abraham does not believe in the word of God? No. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And also the Apostle James tells us, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James 2:23. This is how Abraham treated God's word, or treated God's promise to him. He did not live to see that promise fulfilled, by the way, but he see it with the eyes of faith. He looked beyond into the future. That God, this God of the Bible, God Jehovah, he will keep that promise. Look at the thief on the cross. And this is another thing that many of us miss. When the thief on the cross, that thief who repented, and this again goes against the teaching of the charismatic and all this, oh, signs and wonders. What did the thief on the cross see before he believed? Did he see a glorious Jesus sitting on his throne, in his royal robes, in all his power and glory? When he looked at Christ, he was looking at the Christ crucified, hanging on the cross just like him, bleeding in pain and in sorrow. But he looked beyond that this Jesus, yes, he is hanging on the cross right now. 3 days later, as he has said, he will be raised by God. He is my resurrected Savior. That is the kind of faith that you and I need to learn, to cultivate, so to speak, this kind of faith. To pray that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, to put in our hearts such kind of faith, to look beyond all our sorrows and troubles, to give us that power and that strength to endure, to persevere, despite, and particularly when we cannot fully comprehend the workings of God, the minds of God. Just like Job, let us learn to pray and ask God for such faith. Do we in humility accept all of God's commandments and believe it, and through the help of the Holy Spirit strive to obey it out of love for him? Prayer and the word of God go hand in hand. You cannot pray according to the will of God if you do not know the will of God from the Bible. You cannot pray like Caleb in faith if you do not by faith believe in the word of God. So do not be upset, my friend, or be angry with God when you have prayed so hard and so long and there is no answer from God. Perhaps, you need to first examine your own heart. Did I pray in faith? Do I really believe in the promises of God, the laws of God, the words of God? The third aspect of Caleb's prayer life or his persevering faith is this: the purity of his faith. By this, what do we mean? I will explain this as we go along. It is one thing, my dear friends, to know that God answers prayer. It is another thing to have the promises of God. And yet, it is another thing for a Christian to be able to come before God and to pray with a clear conscience. To make your petition known unto God. We must ask, am I able like Caleb to say, look at Joshua 14 verse 8. Am I able like Joshua say to God, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. Can you come before the Lord with such boldness or to stand before the congregation with a clear conscience and say, but I wholly follow the Lord my God? Caleb did. He was not boasting here. Scripture recorded it for us as a witness and testimony of this man of faith. The purity of Caleb's faith is this, which is another secret for his success in his Christian life. And the main reason why his prayer was so readily answered by God is this. 1 John chapter 3, 21-22 says this. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God or confidence to come before God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. This speaks of Caleb. Now here, okay, before that I want to say this. You see, Caleb came before the Lord, and as he gives himself to prayer, and as he claimed the promise of God, all this while, Caleb is coming before the Lord with a blameless testimony. Please mark the word that I use is blameless testimony. And by that, what do we mean? His conscience, as what 1 John 3, 21-22 says, did not condemn him whenever he prays before his God. His heart did not condemn him. His blameless testimony, very careful, is not to suggest that Caleb lived a sinless perfection life or sinless perfection during his pilgrim journey here. It's not to say that. But the overall assessment, you can say, of Caleb's conduct or his life as a whole was steadfast, striving to follow the Lord. That was in his heart, and God knows it. Despite all his weaknesses, as I said, despite his imperfection, God honors that. Do you know that, brethren? That when we have that, God knows that we were poor, God knows that we are feeble and weak, yet when God sees that we try, we strive with the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray about it, that sincerity in our heart, God's honor. God will honor that. For many Christians, how often we come before God, but in the hearts of hearts, our conscience cannot bear the searching eye of God. And that is why many a times our prayers are not answered. Just like the prophet Isaiah said to the children of Israel, your sin has separated you from God. And therefore the Lord will not hear. But oftentimes we are too proud. We are conceited, proud. We are blinded by our pride that we do not see that. And very quickly, very easily, when our prayers are not answered, straight away we get upset with God, we blame God. Must be God. Who is this God? Why should I pray then? Let me give it up. Forget it. I have all my friends. I have my parents. I have this, I have that. I have all the connections up there. All I need to do is pick up a call. All will be settled. Why do I need God? After all, you cannot answer my prayers. I have all this connection with all these powerful people, you know. From all this agency, government level, top businessmen, what have you, professors in the universities. I know them. I don't need God. After all, He's not answering my prayers. Oh, brethren, friends, let us realize that God takes seriously what is in our hearts and in our thoughts, which others cannot see, but God sees it all as it is. You can put on a facade, you can dress up to impress others, but you can never hide your conscience from the searching eye of God. Any unconfessed sin, and by the way, may I add, any misunderstanding with your fellow man or fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that is not resolved according to Scripture, Matthew 18, any unforgiving spirit, which is a sin, will shut the ears of God to your prayers. Is there any wonder why so often we pray and pray and pray and pray? No answer. Because of our sin. We can hide that from our friends, but not from God. And so Caleb could say, Lord, give me this mountain, because he was praying in faith, because he believed the promise of God, because he lived his life blameless before God. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, ask this question. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5, ask this question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And the psalmist answered, he that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And then the answer, the psalmist gave us an answer. The answer comes with the reward. And what is the reward? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And as Caleb looked at this mountain and asked Joshua for it, Caleb could testify that as far as he was concerned, he led a blameless life. His heart and hands was cleansed, and therefore he justifiably received the blessing that God promised to him. Dear friends, you and I cannot genuinely say and have no right to say that God does not answer prayers or our prayers if our hearts condemns us and if we are praying outside of the will of God. It is as simple as that. Living in sin will shut the ear of God to your prayers. Praying outside of the will of God, you will have no answer. Or rather, the answer will be no. Denied. As we consider the prayer life of Caleb, let us learn from him and petition to the Holy Spirit to help us to pray from our hearts, give me this mountain. Let us pray in faith, coming before the throne of grace in the promise of faith, and with a pure heart cleansed by the blood of Christ, and surely the Lord will answer our prayers just as he did for Caleb. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will write this, Thy word, in our hearts, that Thou will cause us indeed to humble ourselves before Thee and to turn to Thee to seek for forgiveness and cleansing, so that, Lord, nothing will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and that, Lord, You may help us to live a life blameless before Thee and before men. And that, Lord, You may be gracious and merciful to hear our petitions and our cry to Thee. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.